The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everyone, as always, we welcome you to the Speak Up table, where we are bringing to you the key candidates who are seeking your vote this primary election on May 17th. My name is Barbara, and today and tomorrow, we're talking with the candidates for Bonner County Commissioner, District 3. Today, you will get to know Ron Korn and David Bowman, and tomorrow, Richard Harder, Luke Ahmet, and Brian Riley will be here at the Speak Up table. So everybody keep it right here. This is the best venue to hear and really get to know the candidates, to know their values, the issues, their priorities for you. And so with all that, we'll be right back after this. Come on in, everyone. Say hello and welcome. County Commissioner District 3 candidates, Ron Korn, David Bowman. Welcome in, Ron and David.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, just to remind you, there are five candidates in total. These two today, three more tomorrow. So keep it right here where we have all the candidates for you. All right, gentlemen, let's begin with your introducing yourself to our audience. And Dave, we'll start with you.
Dave Bowman, and I'm running for District 3 County Commissioner. Not sure how much of an introduction you want.
Well, tell us a little bit about your background, your family, your education, anything that you want to share more on a personal level than an issue level.
Yeah, okay. I live out in the Shelley Valley with my wife, Susan, my stepson, Sage. We've been there since 2020. And I have two daughters that live in Northern California. They're grown. One's pushing 30, and the other one's in her late 20s. I first discovered Bonner County about 20 years ago when I came through with my daughters on a road trip through Idaho and Montana. And the place really struck me, not just the geography and the outdoor activities and all that, but the people. People really struck me, the sense of community and so on. Mm-hmm. So I decided that I wanted to eventually retire here. I bought a home in 2011, which was the beginning of getting established here. In 2017, I bought a house in East Hope and started spending more and more time here, getting to know the area, getting to know the people. And then eventually we were able to buy the house in Shelley Valley in 2020. I had sold my business at that point, or was beginning the sale of my business, which took about a year and a half to conclude. And speaking of business, that's what I'm bringing to this position, if I'm able to win. 37 years, industrial contractor in Western Washington, a lot of work in Alaska, primarily it's industrial refrigeration. We did a lot of factory trawler work in the Bering Sea and both the big vessels that freeze, 200 metric tons a day of fish kind of thing, and lots of little specialty stuff too. So my experience in that line of work was working with lots of different companies and lots of different disciplines and bringing multiple projects together in on time, tight budgets, often shifting circumstances, lots of contract negotiation, reading, writing, and so on, complex insurance issues, that type of thing. So. And then when I got established here, we got involved in with land use issues and ended up forming the group Keep Bonner County Rural. And that's really what brought me to this.
Very good. Thank you for that. Dave Bowman. All right, Ron, the same question to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
I moved here with my wife of 31 years. Moved here 24 years ago. And we started our family here 23 years ago. All three of our children were born at home, the same house that we live in today. My background is over 30 years self-employment in the construction trades. Also, I've got probably over 10,000 hours of volunteer service in Bonner County alone. starting off with the Bonner County Sheriff Search and Rescue back in 1999. I was sworn in as commander a few years later by the local sheriff at the time. And I was in charge of over 150 volunteers. It was the largest search and rescue group in the state of Idaho at that time. Since then, in 2020, when the China virus came, I was the one that decided to save the 4th of July festivities when the Lions Club canceled them. So we had 7 weeks to prepare and execute that. And that was a lot of fun. I got to meet a lot of community members. It was really the community that came together on that to help volunteer and financially to save those festivities. And we actually added an additional event that year, that festival at the park. That included all free events and games for the kids and adults, and it was just a lot of fun. Since then, I've also started, I saw the way the world was going, our country was going, and even our community, I was kind of disappointed with the riots and the BLM activities that were going on. Antifa was close as Spokane, Washington, having their riots and breaking windows and looting. And I thought it was time to stand up and actually do something else for the community. So that's when I founded the 7 Bravo Militia. The 7 Bravo Militia is a Christian, faith-based, constitutional, unorganized militia, according to the state statutes of Idaho. So I've been doing that for a couple, 3 years now. We have quite a few members, professionally trained volunteers, and we're here to help the community in time of an emergency. I've also founded the FACLU, the Freedoms and Civil Liberties Union, and that's a local group right now fundraising money for local patriots when they have events. And the first thing that got to help out with was one of the local truckers in town wanted to participate in the convoy, the trucker convoy going from California to Washington, D.C. So we were able to help fund that for him. And he sent us a lot of pictures and the testimonies and along the way, the road stops and the kids giving them letters of appreciation and all that. So it was a great experience. And now I kind of want to roll over all those hours of volunteer service in the community into representing the people of Bonner County as commissioner.
All right. Excellent. Both of you, thank you for that. Ron, I'm going to keep it with you. And Bonner County, both of you get this question. Bonner County commissioners have a lot of duties, and these duties for, the most part, if not completely, are legislated by the state of Idaho in the legislature. You don't make law, you apply the law, you execute the law. So there are lots of duties. What, in your opinion, Ron, are the top duties? You can pick a number, 1, 2, but the top duties that you see are important to a county commissioner.
I think the top priorities on my list would be representing the people and preserving their rights. And that may conflict with some of the state laws. And if it does, obviously I would be actively pursuing changing those state laws so that we do preserve the rights of the people. One of the hot topics right now is property rights versus, keeping Bonner County rural. And a lot of people are upset at how things are going, and I totally understand that. But above all, property rights is all of our rights. We should be concerned about losing our rights for medical mandates. We should be concerned about losing our water rights. There's a lot of rights at stake right now that people may not realize. So I think the top priority is preserving all of our rights, not any specific ones. Obviously, the budget, I think there is some money to be cut in that budget. I see a little bit of extra spending that may not be necessary. We need to get back to responsible, limited government. Government is not responsible for all these social programs and all that's going on today.
All right. Well, some of those issues that you've named, we're going to get into, but that's a great overview. I appreciate that. All right, Dave Bowman, the same question to you. Of all the duties and responsibilities for a county commissioner, what are those top ones that you see that you really want to champion?
I have to agree with just about everything that Ron said, for starters. It's hard to pick, really. But I think the issue in this election, and I don't want to make this be the only thing that I'm running on, but what I seems to be the overriding one is land use issues. And because that ties into right now we're growing our government with the policies that are being adopted by our current commissioners and the planning department. That ties into taxes. So we want to keep taxes low. But as we have development that's not paid for by the developers, that's pushing taxes up for the current taxpayers. And those two tie into the budget, which is a huge part of commissioner's responsibility. And we have just one little quick,
sure.
With inflation at the rate that we have going, which is probably quite a bit higher than what any government official will admit to, that's going to be an issue because we have 3% ceiling on property taxes per year. Inflation's going up more than that. So that's going to be a big, big challenge for whoever gets the seat.
Well, it's good to hear agreement, but I think I heard disagreement. Correct me if I'm wrong. Ron, I heard you say that, yes, keeping Bonner County rural and more agricultural, perhaps some people would say, but yet you lean on the side of property rights, that somebody can do what they want with their property. If they want to develop it and it's allowed in the planning and zoning, then they should do it. I'm hearing you lean from your first introduction and then there that you're leaning more toward keeping it rural. And not that they don't have property rights, but rural. Have I misunderstood? Correct me, first of all, David, your position on that.
Yeah, keeping Bonner County rural doesn't negate anyone's property rights. Property rights are a two-way street. So just for an example, if I purchase a property next door to a gravel pit, I don't really have a gravel pit that's been there. I don't have a right to complain about the noise and the dust and so on. But if I own a piece of property that I've had for 10 years and the person next door decides to put in a gravel pit on my border, then I should have a say in that. It's a two-way street.
If the property you have is, let's say, limited to 10-acre parcels and you want to go in and ask county commissioners you'd like to make it 5-acre parcels so you can develop that, you would put the onus of county commissioners on what, leaning toward, no, you know what, it's 10 acres when you bought it. We want to keep it rural. We're not going to make an exemption.
Yes, and it's not just, I wouldn't make it just about we want to keep it rural.
Okay.
I would make it about the law. And we have zoning in place for a reason. If you come in and you're saying 10-acre zoning, so okay, if you have 10 acres, and zoning isn't by property parcel. When the comprehensive plan was written by the people, right, according to what the people want, and from that comes the zoning code, they don't come in and a zoning district is a large area of land, which mm-hmm. comes under the land use area, which is even larger. And it's wouldn't be practical, and it would defeat the purpose of zoning all the way around to go down parcel. You couldn't even do it to go parcel by parcel by parcel and say every single parcel has to have every single feature that's called out in a particular zone description.
Right. It's the whole area.
Sure it is. That's why they call it a zoning district.
So, Ron, how does that comport with what you were really emphasizing, property rights? Kind of the idea, I'm the owner, you know, within the framework, I can do what I want with my property. Explain that again.
So I am pro property rights. I believe that you should be able to do anything with your property that you want to, as long as you're not harming your neighbor.
And that is allowed by current zoning and law?
Right. So the way it was explained to me by planning and zoning, I went down there to the county building and talked to them myself. And they said when they did the zoning maps, they drew large circles around plots of land. They did not go parcel by parcel. So if you're closer to the forest, for example, you're going to be labeled Forest Ag 20, for example. In their zoning requirements, they have certain requirements for that 20-acre minimum zoning. And it may be because you're on a hill, because you're closer to the mountains. And they feel like they need that 20-acre minimum so that the septic systems work correctly, so that they don't go downhill into the neighbor's property, for instance.
So I feel like I'm getting in my head in the weeds a little bit, and maybe my listeners are too. So above that, you're saying, so It can be changed if you
go
to get an exemption. You would support that because
you
the property owner wants to do it.
You bet. So, okay. Like I said, there's guidelines and rules that make up those 20-acre minimums, the 10-acre minimums, the 5-acre minimums. And because they drew a broad circle around these areas, that doesn't mean that all that whole area fits that, those requirements. There was no way for them to do that. And I can speak to that personally. My property sits on a creek. And because of that, FEMA put me into a flood zone automatically. They didn't come out and they didn't survey the little creek that I live on. They just looked at a map. They saw blue lines. Okay. And they said everything within 300 feet is in a flood zone. So it was up to me, the property owner, to get myself out of that flood zone. Same way as the zoning is in Bonner County, is that they encompass large areas closer to town where smaller properties, further away from town where larger properties.
Okay, so Dave, I want to come back to you real quick before our break. Do you agree with what he's saying? Are you the detail of what he's saying, or does that go against kind of your keep us rural, this lower density goal?
Well, the concept of circles being drawn out there is not how any of the zoning was done. So the comprehensive plan, so if you take the Sally Valley, for example, all of the Sally Valley in the comprehensive plan, except for maybe right down around the edges around Kootenai and so on, is ag forest, okay? And the comprehensive plan says in ag forest, you can either have 10s or you can have 20s. And so then the zoning code is derived, or the zoning map in this case is derived from what's laid out in the comprehensive plan by the people.
Okay.
And they pick areas that are, say, along the Pack River, for example, or other places where wildlife is an issue and septic and water and so on, will make it be 20-acre minimums. Other places, they said, well, we can have hobby farms or whatever. And all that's laid out at the time to comply with the comprehensive plan, which isn't the law, but it's the guidance. And the idea is that's set down and that's the law at that point. So to make an exception for anyone who wants to come in and say, well, I really want mine to be 10s, it's spot zoning. And it completely, absolutely defeats the purpose of having zoning in the first place. The only legit reason that I know of were to say that a zone was improperly drawn or a parcels is a split zone, where the zoning line comes right through the middle of your property. That's a completely legit reason to have a zone change.
All right, well, this is clearly an issue in this election, and this is interesting. We're going to talk to the candidates for their take on it tomorrow. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break, but we have a lot more coming your way when we come back. Hey, everybody, welcome back in. I hope you're enjoying this program. I know I am. We have 5 candidates for County Commissioner District 3. 2 are with us today, Ron Korn and Dave Bowman. Tomorrow, we have the other 3 candidates will be joining us at the Speak Up table. So check it out. I want to do an agree and disagree session where I lay it out and you guys either agree or disagree and speak to the issues. The first one, do you agree or disagree, and a little bit of why, that Bonner County should not accept ARPA money? Ron?
Sure. So I fully disagree with accepting ARPA money. We don't need to take the money. Dave was talking earlier about inflation. That's one of the things that's driving up our inflation right now is the government's printing trillions of dollars to hand out to the government, local government, state governments, and somebody needs to stand up. Like I said in one of the forums earlier, it takes one person to stand up and say no, and hopefully then others will follow. But it takes a strong person, a strong government to stand up, say, no, we're not going to take that ARPA money. We don't even need to read the 700-plus pages that all the strings are attached. We just need to use common sense on something like this and know that that's a bad thing to take. So.
All right. And Dave Bowman, what do you think about? Should we take ARPA money or not take ARPA money?
We should not take it. It has strings attached. We don't even know what strings are attached to it, right? It's any strings they feel to attach in the future that we would be bound to those strings. mandates, executive orders, and we don't even know what they would be. So, no, I'm all for not taking ARPA money.
All right. We certainly know that the city of Sandpoint, Kootenai County, and a lot of counties all over Idaho, the state of Idaho, is distributing, and states across America, but you guys want to, you know, for Bonner County, on behalf of Bonner County. So I think some ARPA money has already been spent by our county commissioners. So anybody that came in with budget requests, maybe not. I know the sheriff did, but then he sent it back and said, I don't want it.
I think the money was pushed onto the sheriff without his knowledge when he wasn't involved. And as soon as he understood that, he sent it back,
okay.
if I understand it correctly.
And you agree with that, Ron?
I'm not sure about that. What I understood was EMS took some of the money and spent it, and then they paid it back.
All right.
So all of it should still exist in the account.
All right. Excellent. Next one. Do you agree or disagree? And I think that you both touched on this, but let's go into it a little bit more. Do you agree or disagree that the county budget must be trimmed, which means cutbacks, not just not growing as much as it has in the past where you cut back the growth, but you actually cut back the actual number? And why? What would you cut back? So, Dave, you go first on this one.
Well, I do it. Yes, it needs to be cut, and where it can be cut and why, I don't know at this point. I look at things like spending $830,000 to pave a private road for a gated community. We don't need to be doing things like that. Giving away county property is a no-go. I had a lapse here for a second.
Yeah.
Growing the government. So right now, I'm not going to bring everything back to planning and zoning, but this happens to be a thing right now. They just took the Planning and Zoning Commission, which was working well, and they split it into two commissions now, one planning and one zoning. Well, we just increased government. So what are the budget numbers for that? They need more staff to support them in the planning department. Things like that. We have to not be growing it, and this is going to become a big issue with the rate of inflation that we have, and we don't know. We could have hyperinflation coming our way, so it may be through attrition. I have to wonder about a lot of the lawsuits that our current commissioners have put us into needlessly that have ended up costing, you know, settlements, but also just legal fees, and that's a big deal.
All right, so Ron, the same question to you. I think you've already said you think the county budget, the budget itself has to be trimmed, not just the growth in the budget. And if so, what would you cut?
I would first look at where the money is being spent on non-essential services, social programs and the such. So 20 years ago, for instance, our EMS was provided to us by a private entity that cost the taxpayers zero money. And since then, in 2002, the county took it over, and now we're spending over $4 million a year on EMS services that used to be provided to this county for free. I would like to bring back volunteerism. I would like to bring back support from the local churches, helping with the social programs the way America was meant to be, and keep government to be limited, responsible spending and duties.
Do you think it's reasonable to think that the EMS services that we need in the county can be all volunteer, both the equipment and the...
So it wasn't volunteer. It was an actual paid company.
So if you used an ambulance as an individual family, you
got
paid.
Charged for it. Correct. And they ran into problems towards the end. I mean, they provided everything from Heingel rescues to ambulance services, medical services. We even had a helicopter. They had a helicopter on the roof of the hospital, all at no cost to the people. So today, again, I say we're over $4 million a year in budget, and we don't have a helicopter.
Do you agree that EMS would be one of the areas, Dave, that you would cut in the county budget?
You know, I don't have enough information to give you an answer for that. I would have to study it. I'd be open to the concept, but I don't know enough to say one way or another.
And could I just say something,
yes,
real
please.
Quick? I hope I didn't mislead you. I don't necessarily want to cut EMS's budget. I want to be clear on that. I was giving a for instance
okay.
For volunteer services across the board.
That could keep it under control.
Right.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Also, you mentioned social services, that it would be volunteers. So, I mean, obviously there would have to be some kind of a transition as we transition out of the county, providing this with taxpayer money to social services being some social services. Can you give us an example by volunteers or churches or what?
Well, I'm not sure exactly. I haven't had time to look into what the county actually spends on social services. So I can't really answer that question right now. I just really see, as a volunteer myself for the past 23 plus years, I've seen volunteerism dropping because government agencies want to come in because there's money to be made. There's grants available out there if the government provides these services, such as EMS I can speak to. When I was in search and rescue, we actually did vehicle extrications when there was an accident. It wasn't the fire departments, it wasn't EMS, it was Bonner County Sheriff Search and Rescue. And that service was provided for free.
Okay. Another topic I want to bring up for you gentlemen is we've already discussed how your duties and you have boundaries that are set aside or around you by state legislature. What, if any, laws would you lobby for or champion to be changes to be made in the state legislature that would impact the duties or the powers of county commissioners? What sort of changes would you look for, Ron?
To exempt counties from state mandates would be the top priority for myself. As we've seen the last 2 years with the COVID, we've seen our personal rights taken away from us. I've seen people having to go take an experimental jab. It's not even a vaccine, it's an experimental jab so that they could keep their jobs or save their jobs, save their careers. And that is wrong. So that would be the first thing on the priority, is to try and get that change at the state level.
So besides COVID or jabs or masks, what state mandates would you want the county? What I'm hearing you say, it isn't the county wouldn't do it, it's just the county could exempt themselves if they didn't want to do it.
Right.
What would be another example of a state mandate that you're uncomfortable with?
One of the things I'm uncomfortable with, and I'm not sure it's really a mandate or not, but it's the state control of our natural resources here in Bonner County, which then makes us dependent upon the state and federal government for money so that we could operate our infrastructure.
Okay, excellent. All right, Dave, same question to you. What would you change at the state level that would impact you as a county commissioner?
One of the things that concerns me a lot, and I'm not a totally sure how I would change it, but I would certainly look for ways to change it, and that is elderly people being pushed out of their homes from property taxes, right? We have this system where you never completely own your home. You're beholden to the government for until you die to keep paying for that property, and it is causing people, some low-income, elderly, the property values continue to go up. The property values going up don't necessarily increase an individual's taxes. It's a case-by-case thing. But our burden on the infrastructure as people move in here and growth occurs raises the overall tax, and everybody's got to pay a part of it. And these people are being pushed out of their homes. I would like to see that burden somehow or other alleviated for older people or shifted over to more of a sales tax thing that everyone pays. I'm not quite sure what the mechanism would be, but something like that. And then I think there's some LUPA, a lot of LUPA needs to be brought up to, I'll just say up to date. It's a lot of LUPA is out of date.
All right, excellent. So yeah, property tax, it could give the county government some choices. They could do some exemptions on their own. That the state would allow them to decide on a case-by-case basis is what I'm hearing. All right, we're going to take a break. You can think about that when we come back. We're going to take a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. Everybody, welcome back in. We are talking today with David Bowman and Ron Korn. They are running for County Commissioner District 3. And I want to mention to you, there are three more candidates that we're going to talk to tomorrow, also running for District 3. And here's the deal. They are running in District 3 because that's where they have to live as a candidate. But we as voters, everybody in the county gets to vote for county commissioners. So District 3 race, you get to vote no matter where you live. And the upcoming candidates in a couple of weeks, the District 2 candidates, you get to vote for them, one of them also. Only one can move forward in District 3 and one is going to move forward in District 2. So they're restricted to District 3, but we're not. We get to vote for all God's children on the county commissioner, and I love it. All right. So I want to change the topic here, gentlemen, to, you know, we just had this big controversy about the ice rink, and you mentioned, you know, there was kind of the giveaway of the land at $1 a year, a multi-million dollar property. And so that's been resolved. The county commissioners, I think, wisely backed away from that bad decision. But what is left on the table is our need for a new courthouse. Everyone, and we have a crumbling courthouse with jail cells that are, I don't know, turn of the century. Nobody can use them. We have a judge that does not have chambers. I don't know where that judge sits. I think they take turns or something. And so we need a new courthouse. Clearly, the jail has to be expanded and improved. I don't like going into that driver's license place. I feel like I'm walking into my grandma's living room or something. It's this rinky-dinky little, I don't know, front porch thing going on. So we need that. But yet, how are we going to do that? Do you agree that we need it? We need it there. And how are we going to pay for it? Those are big questions. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first, if you don't mind.
Okay, Ron Corn.
As far as the jail goes, I know the sheriff has been wanting a new jail for quite some time. Actually, that jail is only 20 years old. That wasn't turn of the century. So it's only about 20 years old.
The courthouse was turn of the century.
Okay. So as far as the courthouse goes, it was remodeled. Millions of dollars spent by the taxpayers 10, 15 years ago. I'm not sure exactly when. It was probably 12, 15 years ago. So... Again, I got to just say that I'm for small, responsible government. When our government buildings supersede the average person's home and stuff, there's something wrong with that. They don't need nice, fancy buildings. They need safe buildings. Yes, it's a public building. There was a rumor floating around that there was asbestos in there, and it ended up being vermiculite with possible asbestos in there that we spent, I don't know what the number was, $6 million or some crazy amount to get rid of that and to remodel the courthouse. I haven't had the opportunity to be in the courthouse for probably the last 15 years since my lawsuits with through search and rescue. I try and stay out of the courthouse myself. So I don't know exactly what that looks like right now, but I would be against spending right now unless it's evaluated differently. But we don't need to be spending more money right now. Inflation coming at us, everything else, we need to reduce the size of our government.
So I'm going to ask you a little brutal question. So you completely disagree with Sheriff Darrell Wheeler when he says our jails, because of separation of men and women and youth from adults and then the whole COVID thing that may come back around, it's inadequate. They were built on the cheap. And many that say our courthouse is crumbling. So you disagree with him and others?
I do. So Darrell and I go back many years. Well, we were involved with search and rescue with Darrell Wheeler. And I would have to disagree with that. I still got to say some of those jail cells are better than some of the people's houses in this county. And that's not right.
Okay. Probably by law, but...
That they're nicer than other people's houses.
Well, that they have to have stainless steel toilets so they don't break them up and kill them.
Right. Free workout areas and ice cream on Fridays and whatever.
Okay, Dave, the same question to you. What do you think about this need for a jail, a new courthouse, kind of what it's called a justice complex in the ice rink?
Justice Center, well, I've been out there and I've toured the jail. I actually have toured the entire sheriff's facility out there, and the jail is in pretty rough shape. They've got leaky roofs. They have a kitchen area that's about the size of this room here that people are bumping into each other, and they make do with it, but barely. The exercise, they have because in inclement weather, you can't have all your exercise outside, right? So they have an exercise room there that also it's barely bigger than this room here. So they have issues with keeping, you know, you got to have violent inmates separated from the rest of them. You have sexual offenders separated from, you have men separated from women and all that. It's a big challenge for them to do that. There are needs out there. Putting the ice rink there was a bad idea. For a number of reasons. And I would just suggest maybe that courthouse that's sitting on some prime real estate there, it's worth some money. You know, maybe that could be sold and take that money and put it into a justice center.
All right.
A thought.
It's amazing to me that our time has escaped us. You guys were excellent. Thank you so much for being with us today and sharing your thoughts. And I'm going to give you each a couple of minutes, or not as long as you want, but a couple of minutes to say goodbye to the audience and get their vote. And Ron, we'll start with you.
Well, I'd like to thank you, Barbara, for having me on today and explain some of my views to the people. I just kind of want to go over a couple things real quick. I want to make sure that the people out there know where I stand and where I'm going to base my opinions on is I'm here to protect everyone's inalienable rights, and I'm here to protect everybody's constitutional rights. If those are in conflict with something, then we need to take a look at changing the rules or the laws, because that is number one on my priority list. If we start veering away from our constitutional rights and our God-given inalienable rights, then where are we really going? The last couple of years we've seen our country decline, like I said, and that's why I'm running, is that I want to make a difference. I don't need this job, but I need to make a difference. I have three kids that were born here, and all three of those kids want to stay here. And I want to make sure that I pass on a great place to live such as I have had. Thank you. And you can look me up at roncorn.com and for further information, or you can get a hold of me on email, ron@roncorn.com. And I just ask for your vote on May 17th, Ron Corner for Commissioner, District 3.
All right, excellent. Thank you, Ron. Dave Bowman, say goodbye to our people.
Okay, I do want to thank you for having us here this morning. It's been it's been good and interesting and a little not as bad as I thought it would be. So you made it easy. My tagline is for the people on my campaign, and I want to emphasize that I came to this place to retire. I had to hang out with my wife and my dogs and work my property and just relax after 37 years of hard work. It's the people of this county who reached out one after another and begged me to run because they saw that I had the skills, the temperament to work with the county government and make things happen for the people. And that's why I'm here. My website is voteforbowman.com. I encourage you to go there and look. I will continue to update with issues and more information there. And I'd like to appreciate your vote and your support on May 17th.
All right. Thank you so much, Ron Corn. That's R-O-N-K-O-R.
That's K. Yes, ma'am.
Corn. And David Bowman. They're seeking your vote for County Commissioner District 3. And I appreciate you guys coming on and being so open with your issues and what you believe in and really, you know, agree or disagree, to say it like it is, I think is so important in these days, and both of you guys did that. I thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us today. Thanks a lot. I hope you enjoy the show. If you missed the radio, you can always catch up with the recorded version at northidahoradio.com. It's always available, and it's a really good way to listen again. And hear what these candidates have to say. So that's it. Tomorrow, Tuesday, April the 5th, we got a doubleheader going on for you. We will talk with the other three candidates for this same county commissioner position. Tune in and get to know Rich Harder, Luke Ahmet, and Brian Riley. So until tomorrow, this is Barbara saying take care of yourselves and God bless you.